you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's so many times in our life that we have a tendency of going through so much stuff or experiencing so many things that it put us in a place of darkness. It put us in a place of discouragement. It put us in a place of anger and rage. And so many times in our lives that so many things occurs inside of our lives that we have a tendency of thinking and believing that it's not going to get better, or it cannot get better, or why hasn't it already got better? Why so many people is coming up against me, and why so many people is saying this, or why people want to see failure in my life? There's so many times in our lives that we have a tendency of thinking and believing that God is not there, or he ain't answering our prayers, or he's not answering it quick enough. So it's so many times that we even get in a place where we get afraid to approach a thing, or we get afraid of what is going to approach us, or we get afraid of is we're going to be able to get out, or is it going to be a solution, or can it be a solution? It is so many times inside of our lives that all these challenges and these concerns and these situations put us in a place where we put our own selves in captivity because of the way we think and because of what we see and the situation that we've been in for so long. We can't pray. It's hard to pray. We can't get past it. We ain't got no solutions, and we have not figured out even a resolution for it. We even get to a place or to a point inside of our lives until we think and believe that we are misunderstood, when we can't even understand what needs to be understood. I'm going to say that again. It's so many times in our lives as individuals that we feel like we are misunderstood by other peoples, and yet it is us within that cannot understand what needs to be understood. It ain't nobody else. It's our perception. It's what we hear. It's what we see. It's what we think. We can be the thought about something for so long until that thought will alter our current thinking and it sabotages our moving forward. Are y'all following me today? See, it's hard for us to grasp the concept of what God be trying to get us to see. Why? Because his ways and his thoughts are not like ours. So because his ways and his thoughts are so different from ours, our ways and thoughts mess us up. It messes us up. As a human, as a woman, as a man, as a child, as an individual, as a being. As a being. I want you guys to get yellow sheets of paper and red pens. Lisa's gonna pass out y'all some yellow sheets of paper and red pens. And I want y'all to start writing down all this stuff that has you discombobulated. Now, before I start praying and before I go any further, I want to make it clear that you have to want God to do something for you. You have to desire to change in order for him to do something for you. You have to seek the face of God in all things that we will know just who he is. Because if you don't know, who you praying to. And only know what you're praying for, then you will not understand the knowing that he can do it. So I gotta say that again. If you don't know who you praying to, and you only know what you praying for, you would never understand the knowing that he can do it. So write down all this stuff. Dear God in heaven, we come to you, Lord. And we just want to thank you. We just want to thank you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for giving us a sneak peek of what the Spirit is saying to the church on today. We want to thank you for opening up our understanding right quick, Lord. So as we get ready to write this stuff down, we got the mentality of the knowing who you are. Hey, therefore we know that you are able. You are capable. We know it. We know that there is nothing impossible with you. We know that you can heal. We know that you can deliver. We know that you can set free. We know that you can loose chains. We know that you can break the shackles. We know that you are a mind regulator. We know that you are our creditor. We know that you are God. And you are God all by yourself. Hey, we know these things, God. We know that you are our creditor. We know you are our lawyer. We know you're the judge and the lawyer in the courtroom, God. We know who you are. And we know no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. We know that greater is you that is in us than anything else that is in the world. We know that you have overcome the world, God, and everything in it, baby. We know that you have even captivated death that cannot even succumb us, because we know you are the life. Hey! We know these things, God. So as we write these things down, God, we are now writing them down, Father God, in fear that you're not going to answer. We are not writing them down in doubt that it's a maybe you're going to answer. But we're writing them down in confidence and assurance, because we know that you are everything that we need you to be. Oh God, we know these things. We know these things, God. We know, God. Oh God, touch each and every individual in this sanctuary. Cover us in your blood and hide us behind your cross. Let your glory train be in this place on today, God. Drench us in your blood, Lord. We welcome you right now. We welcome you into our situation. We welcome you into our concerns. We welcome you in this sanctuary. We welcome you in our hearts. We welcome you in our minds. We welcome you in our bodies. We welcome you today, God, with open arms. Because we love you, Lord. We don't want to just tell you that we love you because we are expecting something or because we want you to do something, but we love you, God, because you loved us more than anything else. You said no matter what we do, how we act, that nothing will separate your love from us. Oh, what manner of love is that? We thank you for loving us even in spite of us being us. We thank you for loving us even in spite of us being us, God. Oh, God. So before we go any further, God, we want to give you all the salutations right now. We want to give you all the glory right now. We want to give you all the praise right now. Because you're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. You deserve it, Jesus. You deserve it, Lord. You deserve it, God. We dare not exalt anything higher than you. And if by chance we made that mistake, forgive us, Lord. We put down our sickness that we raised up higher than you by complaining. We put down every thought, God, that exalted itself higher than you, because you are the man, Ray Later. We're moving our fields right now, God, because you said you are with us. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, God. We bless you, Lord. Cause you're worthy, God. There's none like you. And right now, we just want to lay at your feet. We just want to hear your voice, God. We want to hear your voice, Lord. We calling on you right now, Jesus. We calling on you right now, Lord. There's none like you. There's none like you. Oh God, you're worthy. And you're everything we need. We may have forgotten that it is you. You are everything to me. Lord, any crown we ever won, we lay at your feet. Any title we ever obtained, we lay at your feet. Any position we ever accomplished, we laying it down at your feet right now. All sickness and shame and fear and pain. All doubt, God, all the stuff. We laying at your feet because you are everything, God. And we want to bless you, God. You are our Lord, our God, our King, our everything. comfort live. You are the healer, God. When that sickness and that pain, God, when that doctor, you are father to the fatherless. A mother to the motherless, and it is you go see. You, God, you are everything. You are the way, the truth, and the life. It is you, God. You, God, we don't want to be in a hurry or getting out of your presence, because we know if we in your presence, Lord, that we are in a safe place. Nothing can overtake us. Nothing can stand before you, God. Ah! It is you, God. You are the epitome of our very creation. Oh God, you are the very essence of our being, Jesus. You are everything. You are everything. Oh God. Breathe on us today, God. Refresh, revive, and renew your people, God. As your word go forward, open up their hearts, remove the stony heart, God, and the stiff neck and the pride of life. Tear it down today, God, that we may be able to receive healing in our minds, in our hearts, in our bodies, in our situation. Help us to understand, God, that you are the reason for it. Oh God. As people have come to a place in our lives of thinking and believing that God is not just who he say he is. Not only do we forget that God is just who he say he is that we have a tendency of doubting who he is because of what we're going through and because of what we are experiencing. I just want to stop this because I want y'all to really understand and hear it. And I don't want you to be distracted because this microphone is kind of lower than it was yesterday. So I want y'all to really get it today. So the Lord was dealing with me this morning about who he is for us. And it's a lot of times in our lives when we're going through something or we are experiencing something that we have a tendency of forgetting or even not being mindful because of that thing that we are in. Because of the people who are coming against us. Or because of the things that is being said. Or because of the situation that has altered some things that we thought should have went another way. All this stuff. So, in the midst of him talking to me about this today, he said, I want you to go to a passage that's very familiar to the people and yet give them the understanding of it. See, because it's a lot of times that we have a tendency of simply forgetting that he's a mind regulator. We simply forget that he's our creditor, especially when we go to try to apply and get something and we see the word denied. We simply forget who God is in our lives. We have a tendency of thinking and believing that these things is not possible with him because we have tried to make it happen or tried to push something into place that it ain't working. It just don't work out for us. We have even tried to enlist help. We have got on the phone and called and asked, or we have did this, or we have tried. We done did. Can I say we're doing too much, y'all?
Yeah.
Because in us doing what we think we should be doing or how we think that we should do it, it causes us to get distracted from the person that can do it all. I'm going to say that one more time. Sometimes we got to move out the way. See, because he's a big old God. He's not going to come and run into you. He's going to stand there and wait for you to invite him into that thing. See, he's not going to kick the door. He's not going to push it. Now, he got the power to. But he wants you to willingly say, "Help me, Lord. I don't know what I can do. I don't know how to do it, but I need your help." And what are you doing? Acknowledging him in all your ways. See, in doing so, it'll make our paths more smoother. I didn't say easy. I said smoother. Because ain't nothing easy when you walking right, baby. Did you hear what I say? It ain't easy to walk right. And I didn't say easy. What did I say? Smoother. Why? Because you know that God is with you. You know that this too shall pass. You know that I'm not alone. It may be tight, but I know it's right. You know I'm going to say this real loud. It's for your good. It's all, and not only do I know it's for my good, even though it may seem like it's bad, it's going to work out for my good. It's going to work out for my good. Because it's for his glory. It's not even about me. He's just using me in this story, in this new chapter of my life. See, because all that other stuff, chapter closed. What did he say, y'all, for the last two Sundays, chapter closed? The name of the sermon today is A Shepherd's Covering. A Shepherd's Covering. And we go into that familiar passage, 23rd Psalms. I'm going to help y'all understand this today. I done preached on it before. But the revelation that he gave me this morning is nothing that I preached on before. And I keep telling y'all, y'all can read a scripture and he'll tell you something and show you something this day, and 2-3 days later, baby, he'll show you something else. It never gets boring reading the Bible. Not to me. A shepherd's covering. What is a shepherd? David describes it real well. He say, this is what David said. See, I'm going to talk about my main man David today too, y'all. I'm going to tap on him a few. See, David, one thing he wasn't. And that was a wuss. Even in his fear, he still wasn't a wuss. Even in his sin, he still wasn't a wuss. Because when a prophet went to him and told him some things that he had did, he gave him a story. And say, the prophet went to him and said, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, this man did this, and this man did that, and such, such, such. And David said, who is that? Whoever it is, I'm going to have their head. The prophet said, it was you. You. He said, shut him up, didn't he? Shut him up then. But see, even in that, he wasn't a wuss. Why? Because he had enough courage to confess, acknowledge, and take accountability. Lord, I know what I did. And I have not sinned against nobody but you. See, what we don't realize is that the things that we do, we're not doing to one another. So why that person or that individual think that they're being evil and wicked towards you, they doing that towards God. Because God told you not to do it. So you ain't sinning against me, you sinning against him. See, that person or that individual that you trying to compete with and trying to pull down like crabs in a bucket or get acknowledged for something that you don't even need to be acknowledged for because it ain't even your accountability. It's Jesus and it's God. Don't you know if God is using that person or working inside of that person again, you ain't fighting up against them. You fighting up against who? God. Because that's his spirit that's working in the inside of them. And he say he ain't gonna let nobody take their glory. And you wonder why he won't raise you up. Because you trying to be like Lucifer. He saying no man gonna get my glory. Not no individual. So why you competing up against somebody? What'd you do? God gave him that gift. God gave him that talent. What he gave you is not just for you. He may have gave all of us the same gifts and all of us the same talents. It's not for us to fight up against one another, but to come together. Why? Because it complements the other. Did y'all know we need one another? But we don't want, I'm going to say this again, be willing to participate in that teamwork or in that thing that has everything to do with God. See, a shepherd's covering, it places you in a whole different kind of mentality. You may be in a place of being afraid, but you don't fear. You see what I'm saying? It's a difference. I'm gonna say that again. Because David was afraid, but he didn't fear. Because every time he got into that place of being afraid, he went to God and said, Lord, come on now. You see, I'm scared. But I know who you is. You. What did he tell Goliath? When David walked up and saw even a very king shaking in his boots, he say, wait a minute. The Bible says that Saul was one of the tallest men in the nation. This is what the Bible say. He stood over people. Okay? So he was a big man too. But another big man come that's just a little bigger than you. And because he saying things to antagonize. That's the word he gave me. Or to make you afraid and to not only are you scared, because it starts from the top and trickle down. Everybody that's under you is scared. It took a little bitty old man. For the Bible said he was a little man with red hair. That's what the Bible said. I'm paraphrasing y'all. I'm giving y'all the story, a true story. And when he came and he heard it, he said, wait a minute. Now, he didn't know that God was already preparing him not to fear when he killed the lion, the tigers, and the bears by protecting what? The sheep. He did not even know. See, he was willing to die for what he had to protect. He was willing to die for what he was governing over. He was willing to die for something that could not defend themselves. See, let's talk about a shepherd's covering. I'm already preaching. I know I'm getting ahead of myself. Shepherd, it's a person who guides or guards in a manner. Because a shepherd, they're gonna guide them sheep in the right direction. No, you can't go that way. Go this way. It's just hold on, wait. No, they're gonna try to wander off. And what the shepherd gonna do? Run and get them. Come on back over here with the rest of us. Why you over there? That's segregation and degradation. Okay. So you already scary. Can't defend yourself. You don't even know what way you're going or what way you coming, and you ain't never paying attention because you're so distracted eating. I'm just saying, y'all. And so you better come back over here with the rest of us. But since you're so distracted, and Lord, they don't even know what they're doing. Let me help you to understand that you need the shepherd's covering. Because if you ain't got the shepherd's covering, then you in a danger zone. You in a red area. You in a territory that's putting your life in jeopardy. You see, I'm just saying. See, a shepherd is someone who tends or takes care of you. See, because while we thinking and believing it's that job or that paycheck or that bank account, no, he's the provider. Because if he had not given you the knowledge, then you wouldn't be able to do that thing that you do so good and yet so unwilling to promote. So you want to separate yourself from the flock because you think that you better off by yourself. The Bible even declares that two is better than one. So I'm just saying. Let me go a little further. A shepherd is someone who gives advice and instruction to someone regarding the course or process to be followed, as in a pastor. I'm not going to tell you anything that the Bible don't say. And it's for your own good. So, this is why the Bible say despise not the prophetic word. Because it's another scripture that says before that, listen to the prophet, so shall you prosper. Wait a minute. It's also a scripture says that you are a fool if you don't want to accept instructions. So, see, that's a segregation and degradation again, because you're not just separating yourself from the folk and the people. You're separating yourself from God. Another red zone. And let me tell you what. It gets comfortable. Why? Because I ain't got to do that because I'm grown and I could do what I wanted to. Oh, he know my heart. Yeah, he do. That's why he trying to help you not to be you and instruct you not to die. See, I'd rather die naturally than spiritually, y'all. Did you hear what I said? I'd rather the Lord put me under the dirt than taking his spirit from me. Did y'all hear me? Because I know I'm doomed. Not only am I doomed, I'm going to be sad, I'm going to be depressed, I'm going to be hateful, I'm going to be wicked, I'm going to be evil, I'm going to be defensive, and then I'm going to be offended by everything, I'm going to be acting unaccordingly. Baby, I'm going to be messed up. Mentally unstable. No self-control. I'm going to be in a place where Lord, I ain't sinning against nobody but you, because you told me not to be wicked and evil, God. You told me to be kind to one another. You told me to love the ones that hate me. You told me to bless them and curse them not. So if I'm doing the opposite of that, I ain't sinning against nobody but who? I ain't sinning up against you. How you know God ain't using me, you, him, her, they, we, or us to perfect that thing? That'll make it pleasing in his sight. Because I ain't trying to please nobody else. I don't care what you think of me or how you look at me. I don't care what you say about me. I'm going to say this. No more.
No more.
Huh. I've been there. See, it don't matter to me if you try to make me look bad. Because while you trying to make me look bad, you don't know you shining the light on me, boo. I don't care how you think a thing, even without speaking it. Because guess what? What you think don't even matter. Because God done already told me the thoughts he got towards me, and they good, baby. They ain't evil. See, these are the things that we should know from who? Our shepherd.
Yes.
It don't matter what, baby, it don't matter what I think or me. Because God said, I'm beautiful and wonderfully made. So if I'm thinking anything opposite, I'm sinning against God again. I'm just saying. A covering. A shepherd's covering. A covering is something that covers or conceals. See, it don't matter how many people try to come up against you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, because God is going to conceal you. Read the story about Nehemiah. Oh, baby, because they came up against him, and the only thing that man was trying to do was rebuild the temple. So as we try to build up his kingdom and people try to come against you, they're going to try to hinder, they're going to try to sabotage, they're going to try to not willingly do, or they're going to unwillingly, baby, it's going to be all manner. People is even going to try to walk away or stop thinking and believing that one monkey going to stop. Listen to me. It's a scripture in the Bible that say God is a God of what? Success. He is not a God of failure. And if God got anything to do with it, and you allow him to lead you and guide you to, baby, it ain't, I won't give a rest tell what you do. You just better be careful, because I'm afraid for you. Because you ain't messing with me. Okay. A covering is something that encloses another thing, especially to protect it. So the shepherd is going to come. He's not going to let none. He say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So it ain't nothing that the world can do at you. Or they can try to defame you, baby. They ain't doing nothing but introducing you. They can try to sit up here and lie on you, baby. When the truth come out, they going to be the ones confounded, embarrassing, shame. I'm just saying, y'all. If God be for you, who can even stand against you. They're going to be the very ones coming back. Would you pray, Mama? Would you think? I need, or even to vent, and because they know that God is inside of you, they know that you're going to offer. I'm just saying. Those are the ones that spitefully use you. See, because people will use you spitefully because they know that you are good. You see, I'm just saying, this is the stuff he gave me about a shepherd's covering. See, because we need to understand what a covering is. I ain't even got to the scripture yet. Listen to this. A covering is a place of protective layer over. It's to keep secret or shut off from view. Baby, God will hide you in that secret place. Woo! Come on, Lord. People will be looking and they can't even see. They can talk for it, but they can't find it for it. Dude, I'm just saying that secret place. Yeah. They'll start conjuring up stuff and trying to say you said this and said that, or you did this and did that. Baby, God got you covered. And all you could do is stand up there and say, you know what? They people believe a lie before they. And that person believe that lie that they're telling themselves, and then they trying to convince somebody else to believe that lie. I'm talking about the covering. The shepherd's covering. I'm talking about the in-between and in-between. We ain't even got to the shepherd yet. Did I say we're going to the 23rd Psalm? Yeah. I ain't even start preaching the word yet. Baby, we talking about God this morning. Yes, Lord. See, he'll put you in that secret place. A covering is to make one's way through, across, or over. Through, across, or over. He took them through the Red Sea. They went across in dry land. And they got over in the. When they went over the Jordan River. I'm just saying. I'm talking about the covering. Did I say the shepherd's covering? I'm talking about God. I'm talking about Jesus, yeah. It's to pay continued close attention to for a particular purpose. See, when you are covered, you got his attention. He concerned about you. He concerned about your welfare. He concerned about what's going on in your mind. He concerned about the aches and the pains, baby. He concerned about how you feel emotionally. See, he concerned about all that stuff. We talking about the shepherd. Because when that sheep go astray, the Bible say he'll lead a 99 just to go get that one. You tell me he ain't concerned? He concerned about you if you fall. He ain't casting you out. That's the book. That's the book. The Bible says a just man falls 7 times, but he what? Ain't cast out. See, he concerned if you're scared. He even concerned if you got just a little bitty faith. Because guess what he said? Use the little you got. And I'm going to make it grow. I'm going to make it expand. I just saw expansion. I just saw expansion, y'all. I just saw expansion. Did y'all hear me? Just clap your hands. Say thank you, Lord, for the expansion. Expansion of that little bitty faith. I'm gonna ask y'all again. Clap your hands and say real loud. Thank you, Lord, for the expansion. See, because the Bible says the spies are small beginnings. So that little thing or that little struggle you think and promoting your business or what, say, okay, Lord, I thank you for the expansion of my business. You know? So in that little forgiveness, because I told y'all a few Sundays ago how I've been praying for God to reconcile my family. So I got a phone call from a family member that I hadn't heard from years. And they said that they love me and they miss me. And I'm not going to let what nobody else say to deter me, because you never did anything to me. And you just helped us as well as them. So I thank God for expanding what? The reconciliation. See, we're talking about expansion. Expansion, I just saw expansion, y'all. I thank you, Lord, for expanding my wisdom and my understanding so I won't be stuck and wind up like Lot's wife. I want to be like Lot's wife. And Lot's wife did the one thing that God keep on telling us not to do. She didn't want to leave that broken heart back there. She wanted to keep dwelling on it, bro. She didn't want to leave that anger back there. Or she didn't want to leave that unforgiveness back there. She didn't want to leave that stuff. She kept looking back. The Lord said, you know what, while she keep looking back, I ain't going to let her go back and I ain't going to let her go forward either. I'm going to let her stand still. I'm just going to let her say, who wants to stand still? Lord, please don't take your spirit from me. So, what's a covering? We're talking about the shepherd and his covering on today. A covering is to pay continued close attention to for a particular purpose. See, the reason why he paid attention to you is because you were intentionally purposed for his purpose. You was not just born. You know, so many of us would say, I wish I had not never been born. Or we done told our mama, why did you have me? You such. Because you was intentionally purposed for his purpose. So he got to pay close attention to you. In order for him to pay close attention for you, baby, he going to be on your head. He going to be on your head because he paying attention to any and everything that you're doing. What is a covering? To drive danger or attack away from. So you ain't got to worry about no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I ain't worrying about any of that stuff because Tobias, when he was coming up against Nehemiah, and every time he tried to, he was even trying to recruit other people. In the end, the Bible says the very man that tried to stop the growth of the church, the building of the temple, that man wound up giving a hand. He had to first bring him down off his high horse because he thought he had some kind of clout. What you mean? Because I know how to do this and I know how to do that and how to take. Baby, God will pull you down and make you a deaf and dumb mute. He'll pull you down so low into that job you got, you won't even be able to comprehend absolutely nothing. And then you ain't got a job. He will make you feel so low or put you so low until you won't even know who you are. To even call and get some help from somebody else who know who you are. I'm just saying. We're talking about a shepherd's covering. So, 23rd Psalm. Let's go to the 23rd Psalm. Let's go to the 23rd Psalm. Because, turn it on, please. When he started talking to me this morning about the 23rd Psalms, it put me in a whole new perspective concerning a shepherd. The first verse, the Lord is my shepherd. So that scripture didn't say your, it said my. So make it personal, y'all. Make it personal. I know I be sounding so selfish when it come to him, but baby, God is mine. Did you hear what I say? Jesus is mine. Now, the only reason why I got to share is because he told me not to be selfish. He told me us to give, right? If I give, it's going to be given back unto me in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So if I share him with you, I'm going to get a whole lot of him. I say, are y'all getting it? I'm going to, baby, my cup going to overflow. Baby, I'm going to be like a plant, a tree planted by the water, and rivers It's going to flow out of me. Did you hear what I say? Because I got to share him with the folk and the people. So I share only because I know I'm going to get the more of him. So the Lord is my shepherd. And then there's a semicolon to let you know it's more to that. Not only is he man's, he going to make sure I have everything I need. I shall not want. I'm not going to want for no food. It may not be the food I want, but I ain't hungry. Now, I'm not going to want. I may want that soda, but he gave me some water. I ain't thirsty. If he took all the soda off the wall, what would you do? What would you do with no drinks? You would be thirsty. No, you wouldn't. Because he gave you saliva. Ha! Come on, y'all. I'm just saying. So you ain't want, you may want some water, some soda, and ain't got it. You ain't wanting. You ain't dying of thirst. Why? Because you got saliva in your mind. I shall not want. That's why he mad. That's why he mad. He just showed me that thing. Talk about some water and something. Nuh-uh. You got some saliva. Baby, I remember I was on a fast. He had me like on a 21-day fast straight. And I was like, oh, Lord. I say, I'm so thirsty. I say, Lord, help me. And it just seemed like that I had too much spit in my mouth. And when I was talking and praying, it was just coming out. I said, well, thank you, Jesus. I ain't thirsty. He gave me all the saliva I need. Because he is my provider. He is my shepherd. In the midst, if he tell you to go on a fast, he ain't going to let you be hungry, baby, because he going to fill you with his word. He ain't going to let you be thirsty. He said, what he tell the lady at the well, the Samaritan lady? He said, give me some water. She said, well, I ain't got nothing for to pick it up in. And such, 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 such. He said, okay. Got to talking to her, ministering to her, to get her to understand just who he was. And then he say, see, if you come and me, if you want me, you'll never thirst again. So I ain't got to be complaining about just having water. Because I got somebody that's going to make sure that I don't dehydrate. Because if I dehydrate, that means I'm going to wither away. Dehydration make you be confused. It make you fatigued. It make you just feel like you're going to pass out. I won't be dehydrated if I got Jesus. So I'm going to go ahead and share him with y'all, okay? Even though he's mad, and I know he's mad, I'm going to go ahead and share him. Because I know I'm going to get more and more and more. I know I'm going to get more. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down and green grass. He didn't say, I'm going to have you lay down. He said, I got to make you lay down in green pasture. The only way I can make you lie down and what is good is that I got to get some of that bad out of you. I got to get some. I got to make. To make something is to fashion it. To make something is to fall. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I'm not going to know that the pastures is green over here through him because I'm so dependent on my check at work. So I'm going to take that job from you. And then I'm going to teach you how to trust in me with your whole heart. And then you'll understand what them green pastures is and why I had to make you do it. You, are y'all following me? Because he's my what? My shepherd. So even though I ain't got that job no more, I know he's going to provide for me. I know I ain't going to want no water. I know, and then when he put me in them green pastures, I'm going to be able to gaze and grow. praise. I'm going to be able to sit there and chew. And I ain't got to worry about who coming to attack me because my shepherd covering me. I ain't got to worry about who is trying to sneak up on me. And I ain't even got to that part yet. Because I know my shepherd is covering me. See, we talking about the shepherd's covering. Baby, I can walk and they can throw them knives, but I know I'm covered because I got that shield behind me. I ain't got to worry about them fiery darts because they won't stimulate nothing. They ain't going to burn me. Y'all better ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Bible says a king looked in there and said, now I know. Wait, let me backtrack. Okay, Lord. Okay. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they was like, y'all got to remember, the Bible says that when he told him to throw them in the fiery furnace, the Bible says he called his chief men to do it. Men of valor. The big men, the ones that everybody's scared of. The Bible says when they threw them in there, them big men got burned up. Y'all better read that story. I ain't making it up. So it don't matter how big or how much clout you think a person got towards you. The fiery dog, you're going to come out without a stench. Actually, you're going to come out like a sweet savor. You're going to be smelling good to your very enemies. And they're going to be looking like, oh, that didn't work. No. And you still standing. You know why? Because it didn't offend me. Because you don't know what you're doing. Because if I was offended, you might as well commit suicide. That's what the Bible says. If you offend the least of these, he ain't talking about the ones that's what they say, high in stature. He talking about the ones that are just babes in Christ. If you keep on offending them babes in Christ, them newcomers. Keep on. If you want to, the Bible says best you put a milestone about your neck and cast yourself in the sea. In other words, it's better for you to be dead than to be walking around thinking you getting away with your mess. Because you in trouble. You going to get in trouble. You better be careful. See, people think that God ain't did nothing in a long time or he ain't did. Baby, it's of a surety. It's a scripture in the Bible to say, did you think that your sins was going to go unpunished? They are piled up. They piled up. Let's go back to the book. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still. How can it? First of all, I'm grazing and he's making all the troubles go away. But how can he do that? Because you got to let him lead you. You wonder why these troubles overtaking you? He never said you weren't gonna have trouble. He said that trouble wasn't gonna overtake you. But the reason why these troubles in your mind overtake you is because you ain't letting them lead you. Okay, so he told me to give y'all a definition of lead, okay? It's to guide on a way, especially by going in advance. If he leading you, then he already done went before you. He's the forerunner. See, to lead is to direct the operations, the activities, and performance on a course or in a direction. To lead is to have charge of. How many of y'all done let God take charge of your life? And because the proof gonna be in the pudding, baby. The proof gonna be in the pudding. You ain't got to convince nobody absolutely nothing. Because this is what the folk and the people and us's do. I say the folk, the people and us's. This is what we do. I have been doing this and you haven't seen me change. I am ain't nobody, you ain't got to tell nobody. Just, baby, the proof is going to be in the pudding. If he leading you, are you letting God take charge of your life? Are you letting him regulate your mind? Because if you don't let him regulate your mind, baby, you're going to be vengeful. You're going to be all out of control. You're going to be yelling and screaming and hollering at any and everything that's said or done. You're going to be discombobulated at all the stuff you see and hear. Are you letting God take charge of your life? He said to lead is a slight or indirect pointing to something as a solution or explanation. Let me tell you the one thing God always do for us. He gives us an understanding. And then he's saying, all you're getting, get it. So can't nobody say I'm confused or I don't understand. Especially when it comes to this word. Because not only do he tell you in one scripture, he'll give you a reference in another. So that you can come get that understanding. So that you can have that understanding. So that you can walk in understanding. And therefore, you can get an explanation of it. And what is that explanation? It will be explained to you so that you can be in a place of understanding. Okay. What is to lead? It's to serve as a leader of. It's to be at the front of. It's to give advice and instruction to someone regarding the course or process to be followed. It's to be positioned along a certain course or in a certain direction. The Bible says that. Listen to this. When the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt, the Bible says that it was a 9-day journey for them to get where they needed to go. But the Bible says that God says, I'm not going to lead them that way, because if I lead them in that direction, it's going to be some other tribes that come up against them and try to kill them, and it's going to discourage them. So I'm going to lead them the long way. So in the midst of me leading them in another direction that's indirected the way that they thought, that's that retrograde, baby. You may think you're going one way and God going to take you another way because he know that you ain't ready to face it if you go that way. See, sometimes we got to sit down and let God be God. We want everything microwavable and right quick. You better put that macaroni and cheese in that oven and stop trying to You want to get that box and you want to do it right quick, and it's nasty. It's half cooked. That macaroni ain't soft like it should be. And you ain't even got no milk, so you got to use water. You had to alter it. You better cook that macaroni and put it in it. See, when I cook macaroni, I don't just take my cheese and put it in there and stir it up. I put some milk in a pot and I melt my cheese and I slowly churn. And then I put another flavor of cheese and I slowly churn it. See, God got to add certain ingredients to you, and it may take you a little longer to be processed in order to make it across the... I'm just saying. See, I want us to get it today. To understand that our shepherd's covering is really all we need. When you're going to look for a job, I dare you to acknowledge God first. He's going to put 30 jobs in your face. And then when you go apply for each one of them, if you allow him to regulate your mind and lead you to that green pasture, baby, you're going to hear the voice say no, yes, maybe, stop, I'm for real. When you get ready to make a big decision inside of your life, and you thinking and believing that, I know if I do this, this is going to happen. Or I know if I do that. If he said, baby, how about the decision of telling that man or that woman to kick the rocks? He'll help you with that. He never said it was going to be easy. Did I tell y'all that? I said that in the beginning, didn't I? He never said it was going to be easy, baby. But with him leading you, it won't be so bumpy. Okay. You will be hitting on them potholes. A pothole will destroy your car. It'll mess up your tire, your rim, your axle, your oh Jesus. One little pothole will have you coming out of what? Thousands of dollars. So one little turn, or one little deterring, or one little, let me say this, choice. Because he gave us that free choice, that free will to choose, can alter any and everything. Let me prove it to you. And listen to this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. See, he can calm some things. Let me tell you, if I allow God to lead me down some calm, okay. Because he done did it for me, y'all. Listen. If I allow God to lead me through that storm, and even though my boat may be tossing and turning with the waves and the billows, baby, I know all he got to do is say, peace, be still. And that chaos got to calm down. Baby, I can call on the name Jesus, and that demon that's working in you is going to run or it's going to shut up. I done did it too many times. Listen. See, the Bible says, not only did he lead me beside the still waters, he put me back in my proper position. He restored my soul. And then say, restore your mind.
Soul. He wants that soul, baby.
He restored my soul. He put me back in proper position so that when I go to the Lord, I ain't going to be like, Lord, Lord, I did this and I did. He's going to say, depart from me. I know you're not your work of iniquity. I don't want him to say that. The Bible says he restored my soul. So I'm not serving the devil. I'm serving the Lord. He restored my soul. Meaning my thoughts is right. My attitude. My perception. He restored my... See, because God ain't worrying about your flesh, because he say no good thing gonna dwell in it. He know that flesh will make you go to hell. So what he say? He's going to restore your soul. He concerned about your soul. He concerned about it and the devil won't.
Did y'all hear me?
Because that's what's important. I'm going to say that again. The only thing that is important is your soul salvation. It's two people that fight for it every day. It's two entities that fight for it. Two spirits that fight for it every day. And it's God and the devil, baby. Don't ever forget that. So if he restored your soul, then you're in a good place. How can he restore your soul? He can restore you if you're in a place of depression. Because he says he's a counselor. Wait a minute. He said I'm a wonderful counselor. See, he can restore your soul when you're in that place of thinking and believing that this and that and this and that. When he say, come on, you ain't got to worry about that. Don't worry about that, because your problems to me is as a drop in the bucket. Actually, it don't even exist. You just made a mountain out of a molehill. See, he can restore you in the confidence. The Bible says we have confidence in him.
Yes.
In knowing what he can do. So you restored.
Yes.
You ain't scared. You ain't fit for that. Let me finish. Look. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So if I'm restored again, I'm not serving the devil. I'm serving God. So I am going to try to live right. I can't get it right though. For the thing that I do, a desire to do, I do not. But that thing that I don't want to do, that's what I do, because evil is always present. So you can't get it right, you me, him, her. We can't get it right. God is the only one that can impute righteousness. He's the only one that can do it. Now you got a free will to choose to do right. See, to do right. But you can't get it right. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley. What is a valley? A valley is a low point or a low condition inside of your life. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, when you is in that dark, low place, it seems like you are dead, or you feel like you want to die. You want to commit suicide. You want it all to go away. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, something that's in the shadow. It looks, let me tell y'all what shadow means. Before I get to moving, a shadow is to make dark, dim, or indistinct. A shadow, listen to this real good, is an imitation of something. Y'all see my shadow and where I'm walking in? That's imitating me. That ain't me. That's just an imitation of me. And though I walk through that low, dark, shadowy place, I'm not going to allow that imitation to dictate who I am.
Come on,
girl.
Come on.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to be scared. Come on. I would fear no evil. I ain't going to be, even though, this is it right here. This is it. This is the kicker right here. Even though I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and that doctor done gave me he done told me I ain't finna live. The doctor done gave me some kind of death diagnosis telling me that ain't no cure for. The doctor telling me this and that. See, I'm raising my hand, see, because I've been there. I'm talking about event, baby. I ain't talking about, see, even though I walk, when somebody done tried to kill me, baby, when they had that gun up to my head, a sword off, and pulled the trigger, and a bullet got stuck in the chamber. Even though I wasn't afraid, I was standing there, I say, do it. I wasn't afraid. See, I would fear no evil. Because what? Thou are with me. I'm not afraid of what men can do to my body. Because again, what? God concerned about my soul. And if you doing something to me just because you mad or you angry or you this or you that, and you literally want to see me drop dead. Look, I ain't even scared of death. Why? Because Jesus said he is with me. The Bible say he put death under his feet. So if I got the more God, which I already told y'all, he's mine. Then I know even in death, listen to this, I'm living to live again. So go ahead and kill me, baby. I'd rather be with God anyway, because y'all a mess. Baby, I know I'm gonna have life. I know I'm gonna even in the. I'm not afraid to die. I am not afraid of death, because I know even in death I'm gonna live again in Christ Jesus. And I know even if I did not get rewarded, even if I didn't, I know I got a crown on high, baby. Okay. I want my name written in that book. Okay. Because when he cracked that seal, baby, I want to be in that number. Okay. You hear what? I don't want to be left behind. Okay. Don't y'all know that after the tribulation, after the please y'all read y'all Bible. Because maybe you'll get scared like me. I don't know. You just might consider. You just might consider. That's all. You just might consider. I will fear thee, even for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. So what is that saying? Even though he whooping me, I know he gonna hold me up. And in the midst of it, he's going to let me know, I still love you, baby. But I got it. The Bible says you spit a rod, you spoil a child. And then it goes on to say, beat them and they shall not die. So y'all need to get a whooping. Don't let the police or nobody else think or believe that you could get away with something with your mother or your parents because they say it's abuse. Parents, let me tell you guys what I told the police. I say, arrest me because I'm going to beat them. I didn't say abuse them. Abuse them is something totally different. See, when I was coming up, that was abuse. Baby, I'm talking with the stench of cords getting out the tub. With you, that was a baby. Yeah. You're not gonna tell me. Getting beat with anything they can grab. That was abuse. And then take you to the doctor and get you fixed up. And you better not pet it. You know how you say, you know, you get this. Well, let me do the other arm too. See. That was abuse. The Bible says that we also do certain other things in order for it to help to what? Save our children from hellfire. So you're not getting a whooping because I don't love you, baby. You're getting a whooping because I don't want you to go to hell. Because if you go to hell, you ain't going to have no peace. Not ever. And the Bible says so. Worms going to be coming at you too. That, read the book. It's in the book. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. So to prepare me a table before my enemies is not for him to... Let me get y'all to understand that scripture. Because a lot of people think and believe that he gonna do this and do that in front of my enemies, and they're gonna see what they're gonna see. That, see, to prepare a table before your enemies is to literally let them see that what you thought is not what it is. Let me say that again. I'm going to say it one more time. To prepare my table before my enemies is not for me to show and tell. It's not for me to, you know, flaunt and walk around and brag. But to prepare my table before my enemies is to let them know that what you wanted to do, it couldn't be done. Did you see what I'm saying? See, because while I'm trying to make sure this and make sure that, I need to understand that God is working in the shadows. And what you may think is an imitation, he's going to bring it to fruition. All right? Is y'all getting that?
Yes.
See, we as people keep forgetting that the shepherd's covering covers in any and every area of our life. And this is what he's saying. God prepares a table before me. Prepares a table before me. Is y'all getting it? In the presence of my enemy. So in other words, he's doing something for you. To prepare a table for you is a full course meal. What they call a five course foot? What? See, a meal is something that fills you up. I didn't say dinner. I said meal. Because with a meal, you get dessert. I'm just saying. See, if he prepared me a meal, in the presence of my enemies, he just want my enemies to see I'm feeding them. And guess what? They getting extra. See, you ain't got to tell absolutely nobody nothing. You ain't got to try to prove yourself, and you sure ain't got to fight for yourself. In the midst of him doing all the stuff that he's doing, he says that his rod and his staff, you're going to get whooped in the midst of it too, to make sure that he imputes his righteousness inside of you. And then he's going to comfort you and let you know that he loves you. And then he goes on to say, surely. Say, what surely mean? It's a guarantee that goodness is going to be in your life, baby. It's a guarantee that goodness, listen, surely goodness and mercy, because he know I'm a mess. A hot delios of a mess. Surely goodness and mercy shall what? Follow me all the days of my life. He didn't say that mercy was going to carry me and goodness was going to keep me. He says it was going to follow me. So if somebody following you, that means you got somebody leading you. And if somebody leading you, then that means you going in the right direction. Oh, I just preached that, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
That means you going down the right direction. And if you going down the right direction, there's absolutely no way, no form, no fashion that you can't see what God is doing for you. Now, wait a minute. Do not allow what you're going through or what you are experiencing right now to blind you that you can't see affirm. Because he said he was going to restore you. And to restore is bringing something back into their original state. And getting back into your original state means it's good. Because the Bible says in the beginning, when he made man and woman, and everything that he made was good. So that's why that rod is there. To make sure that you're doing something good. To make sure you're doing good thoughts. And you having good thoughts. And speaking good stuff. And to, you see what I'm saying? See, this is what we need to understand. We don't take these scriptures, we take them and apply them to our life the way that we want to. And thinking and believing. But if they are not broken down, then you won't come into the understanding that the shepherd is your covering. It's not your job. It ain't nothing that you thinking. It ain't nothing that you thought that you comprehended. Because, baby, you could have woke up a lunatic confused, not even knowing who or where you were. Been there before. Did I tell y'all that I had went to a lunatic stage in the state? I woke up, I didn't even know my name, baby. Did y'all hear what I say? I was confused. By the time they got me to the doctor, I told that lady, I said, I just feel so confused. And next thing you know, I woke up and I had all kind of tubes and all kind of stuff inside of me. And even today, they still do not know. But we talking about the goodness of God. We talking about the glory of him. They said that I had a stroke and it was not an aneurysm or even blood clot. They did not even know where it came from, baby. I was paralyzed from my neck all the way down. I could not turn my neck. I could not even open up my mouth. The only thing that was visible was a tear running out of my eyes. And the only thing that I could hear was God saying, I ain't gonna heal you. I'm gonna make you whole. We talking about the goodness of God. We talking about the man that's my shepherd. And y'all wonder why I am so selfish with him. But I go ahead and I share him with you. Because I know if I share him, I'm gonna get a little bit more of him. We talking about the shepherd's covering, baby. In the midst of people coming up against you. And the next thing you know, they raising you up. We talking about your very enemies. We talking about the ones that the Lord say he's not going to make them your footstool only, but he'll make them at peace with you. Baby, they'll start giving you stuff. We talking about the shepherd's covering. We talking about the come against you shall prosper. And while they want to see your failure, God will raise you up. Say expansion. Baby, he expands you. He expands your territory. He expands your thoughts. He'll give you a wisdom and expansion that it ain't everything that you put your hand to. Baby, the prosperity of it will expand. We're talking everywhere you tread your feet. You think he gave you an acre? Baby, it'll be 20. We're talking about expansion. We're talking about the shepherd's covering, the kind of covering that'll keep you in perfect peace. Even in the midst of the storm, you ain't gonna even understand it, why you got so much peace and it's chaos. We talking about the shepherd's covering when you are all alone in your home and you hear somebody say, fret not, baby, you are never alone. Because he said, I never leave you nor forsake you. We talking about the shepherd's covering, baby, that he'll hide you in a shadow, in a secret place, and everybody looking for you, and he got his protection and his shield over you. We talking about the kind of covering, baby, that can't nobody stimulate with those fiery darts or those mean words or those antagonizing looks. We talking about making you like a shield. We talking about the covering of my God. Hey! We're talking about the covering of the shepherd on today. You ain't got to worry about all that stuff that you ain't got no control over. Because all you got to do is acknowledge him, baby. And the Bible says he'll direct your paths. He's not going to just give you a solution. Because guess what, y'all? He the resolution. You ain't got to worry about the extraordinary stuff. Because God will give you an extraordinary praise. We're talking about the shepherd's covering. Write down all that stuff that make you think that you just out there. I ain't in no red zone. I got an umbrella. He's my bulwark, baby. He's my peace. He's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He's any and everything that I need. Any and everything that I want. And any and everybody that's trying to come against me. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We're talking about the shepherd's covering.
Yes, Lord.
We keep forgetting who God is. We keep forgetting that even in spite of us being us, and we stray away, he coming to get us. Come on back home, baby. He invited the prodigal son with open arms. He ain't coming for the ones that think they got it together. He said, I'm coming for that sinner. That they may come into repentance.
Yes, Lord.
They have some remorse in their heart.
Yes, Lord.
They be mindful and consider and then reconsider. We're talking about the shepherd's covering.
Oh, Jesus.
The kind of covering.
Thank you, Jesus.
Can't nobody stimulate.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, you know, I see a whole bunch of steel roofs down here because of the hurricane. Don't y'all know that the shepherd's covering is even tougher than a steel roof?
Okay, come on.
We're talking about the kind of covering that if the big bad wolf huff and puff, he can't blow it down, baby. You know, that big bad wolf ain't bad as he think he is. Because David can kill that wolf. And I got a David inside of me. Because I ain't scared. So who do you think you is? You uncircumcised Philistine. Everything that you said you doing to me, I pray God don't let it retract and hit you. So I'm praying for your mercy. I'm praying for your mercy. See, the covering of the shepherd, can't nobody stop. Absolutely nobody. Can't nobody stop. So let me tell you how covered. So last week, my granddaughters, they wanted to go to the beach. So I said, you know what? We're going to go over to Florida, Pensacola. And we're going to go to the beach. And so in the midst of us getting ready to go, And I got on the interstate to Lewiston. No, go to Orange Beach. I said, go to Orange Beach? He said, go to Orange Beach. Now, this is a prime example of allowing God to lead you. Listen, and I can prove to y'all what I'm finna say. So in the midst of us going, we just had a good old time. And then we came back, and the next day, I got breaking news on my phone that said in Pensacola, Florida, a shark attacked four women. And three of them was in critical condition. And one of them, they say, just had surface injury. Now, he done bit into her arm and her leg and pulled the skin off all the way to the bone. They say that's just surface. Oh, okay. But the other ones was in critical. One of them lost the knee down, the whole leg from the knee down. The other one lost the arm. And the other one is fighting for her life. Just say, the shepherd's cover.
The shepherd's cover.
See, I was going to Pensacola, to the beach. But the Lord say, go to Orange Beach. He leadeth me beside the still waters, baby. Did y'all hear what I say? See, but where we make a mistake at is we fight up against the Spirit of the Lord. He could tell you to do something, you won't do it. He could tell you to say something, you won't say it. He could tell you to go here, you won't go. He could tell you to stop this, you won't stop. He could tell you to eat this, you won't eat it. He could tell you to drink this. We won't let him lead us. But when I say, I thank you, Jesus, because they could have been, we could have been the three.
Thank you, Lord.
Did you hear what I said? And then they said that when they sent out the mariners to go out there for the sea, they say they found a slew of sharks in that area. In that area. In that area. So, the week before, I said I was going to go to Dolphin Island, and I wanted to, you know, just get in the water, and then I wanted to ride the ferry. Get on the ferry. Because I ain't been in a long time. And so, instead of going to Dolphin Island, the Lord said go the opposite way. I said, okay, well, I'm going to go to Mississippi. So I went to Mississippi. That's the opposite way. Same interstate, opposite way. So I went over there. The waters was calm. It was just so beautiful over there. And then I heard that an alligator. The alligator, they sneaking and creeping on Dolphin Island. But it's in the beach area. So, listen to me when I tell y'all. You got to be led by God in all things. If the Lord leads you, listen, if the Lord telling you to apologize, he leading you to do it. If the Lord is telling you to confess or release a let go, a scream, a kick, a bite, of whatever, do it. Because guess what? He it's going to work out for your good. Why? Because he say, surely, which is a guarantee, goodness and mercy shall follow you.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
You're going to always be covered. You're going to always be covered.
Thank you, Jesus.
There's absolutely no other way, form, or fashion. All this stuff that he have been having us to prepare for. Pay attention to the Spirit of the Lord. This is what y'all call it. You know, something told me. It ain't no something, y'all.
Okay.
And something told me not to do this. It ain't no something. It's the Spirit of the Lord trying to unction you in another direction. Or even to consider. Something told me not to do that. It ain't no something. The Spirit of the Lord telling you not to do it. Acknowledge it's the Spirit. What is something? You don't know what you could be conjuring up. Because it's all kind of entities out here. And they are real, y'all. Did you hear what I say? The Lord said we are so self-willed that we can will stuff in our own life. Don't y'all know that's witchcraft? That, I'm just, you know what? I'm going to walk away. Because this stuff is real. But because you got the shepherd's covering, it does not matter what nobody will against you or on you. Because I'm a saying and I'm a saying now. What God bless, absolutely nobody can curse.
Come on, fellow. Hallelujah.
What you thought for my evil, God will turn it around for my good. In your face. That's what God will do. And he's not doing it for me to walk in pride. But he doing it for him to get the glory, to let you know, you, me, I got the shepherd's covering. The shepherd covering me. The shepherd keeping me. Did y'all know the shepherd, he don't just keep, that he don't just cover, he keep. If you want to be kept. Oh, it's hard for me to control my temper. If you want to keep your temper under control, let the shepherd. Baby, I know he'll do it. Because my temper kept me in jail and prison. Did y'all hear what I said?
Yes.
My temper kept me. You think somebody was going to disrespect me? All right. I already know I'm finna go to jail. Because they're going to call the police. Oh, yeah. It's for sure and for certain they calling the police on me. You hear what I say? Because that. But I wanted to be kept. Out of prison and jail. And I was.
Amen.
So, if you want to be kept from your body, now, baby, he'll keep you. Can we talk about Yvette again, right quick? So, I was pregnant with my son. And in the midst of me being pregnant with my son, I started praying and asking God, Lord, I don't want to have no money, no child out of wedlock, and such and such. So I was going to try to, you know, me and the guy was going to try to get married and all that and stuff. And then, but the Lord kept on telling me, that ain't your husband. That ain't your husband. But I was like, Lord, the Bible says this is what we do. We try to take the scripture and apply it to our life to justify our mess, right? I say, Lord, you said it's better to marry than to burn. Oh, because I wanted to hunt. Okay, so then Lord kept on telling me, and then next thing you know, I wind up going to jail. And in the midst of me going to jail, I got out of jail, and I was like, I want to say I was maybe 4 or 5 months pregnant. And in the midst of it, I said, Lord, I still want to do right, because you're gonna spare me, you know, because I could have got 5 to 10 this go round. I done told y'all about the other go-rounds, but we talking about this one this time. So, in the midst of it, I was like, Lord, you didn't spare me, God. I just want to do this. Now, he said, no. Let me tell y'all about the shepherd's covering. Even in spite of you being in your mess, when you acknowledge God, baby, he'll direct your path. The Lord said, no, go back to Michigan, because I was living in East St. Louis, Illinois at the time. And in the midst of me going back to Michigan, and I went to the doctor, and you know how when you go to another doctor in another state, they take tests for any and everything. So they was taking tests and running all this and all that, because when I was having babies, they was real strict and funny about the kids in the building. They was real strict and funny, baby. Did you hear what I say? Because if you went and had drugs or anything in your system, they automatically taking your baby. You ain't fit a birth. Not now. So in the midst of it, I went and they was taking all these tests and taking all these tests. And then so my baby father, he was calling me, and you know, yeah, I wanted to get back, but y'all say no, because the Lord had already told me, but I still was trying to make it happen. See, we always put our hands and stuff, but if you let the Lord direct you, then he will direct you. Let me tell you how the shepherd be covering me and has been covering me all my life. I have been giving y'all these testimonies, and these are real stories. And then about 2 years later, I get a phone call, and a very man that I wanted to marry and be with contracted AIDS. He got the gift that kept on giving. Now mind you, in the midst of me getting this news, I called his mother. And when I called his mother said, oh baby, he been had it. He found out he had it 2 months after you left. Say the shepherd's come.
The shepherd's come. Jesus.
What if I had stayed and married that man? I probably wouldn't be standing here today. Because he died January 1st, 1999.
Thank you, Lord.
Did you hear me? We talking about the shepherd's covering today. How we don't even know, in spite of us being us, because I was sinning and fornicating. Y'all, did y'all hear me?
Mm-hmm.
I done told, did I ever tell y'all I was scared straight? Scared straight. The different experiences that I had, that I know it wasn't nobody but God that covered me. Absolute death. When that bullet got stuck in that chamber, it was gone.
Yep.
Because the man that grabbed the gun from the individual, he shot it in the air again to scare the guy, and the bullet came out.
Come on.
The shepherd's covering. I'm talking about God, even in spite of you being you. I dare you to acknowledge him and allow him to direct your paths. Baby, your waters will get still. I ain't say easy. Why would my waters get stormy and it's still and it's chaos everywhere? Because he's going to have you in perfect peace. Because you got that confidence and assurance in him. I may not have everything I want, but I got everything that I need.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
I may not be married, but I'm in expectation.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. I may cannot move right now, but I know I'm gonna move.
Yes, 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 Lord. Thank you. I
trust you. I know I've been hurting all these years, but I know God is a healer. See, this is how you know these things, that he is your shepherd. That person did this and that person did that. I ain't got to worry about getting no revenge, but God say he's my avenger.
Yes.
I know he's going to be. I don't know when or how, but whenever you do it, Lord, just have mercy. Because the Bible says it's a terrible thing to fall under the wrath of God. Who wants to fall under the wrath of the man that created everything? Oh, Jesus. Now, that's scary. Did I say scared straight? So if I don't do right by you in any area, I'm scared that I'm going to get in trouble. Do y'all know I get in trouble?
I get in trouble. Just like everybody else.
So it don't matter what you're going through or how you're going through it, y'all. It's praying time. I want you guys to just hold out just a little bit. And know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask, think, or imagine. It does not matter what state that you are in. Because he is your shepherd. He is going to cover you. If you slipped away, or if you stop doing this or stop doing that, just know that God wants you to come on back home. All is not lost. If you felt like you was out of place and didn't have no place, just know God will put you in place. He'll position you. Just come on home. Hold out, y'all. When that person or that situation or that thing seem like it's not going to change or ain't nothing going to get better, you got to remember that he the kind of God that'll work it out. Why you thinking and believing that it ain't going to work out because it ain't got worked out in all this time? Baby, he got to prepare you to receive what he done worked out. So he got to work some things out of you before the... Lord, take me out of this broken state right now. While you in that broken state, he breaking the broken. He breaking some things off of you.
Am I talking to some real folk?
Come on, y'all. It's praying time. Bring that stuff. Put it on the altar. All them yellow sheets of paper. Don't hold them up. Put it in your purse. Don't. Come up here to this altar and start praying for yourself. Don't go back to your seat. Let's pray.
It's going to shine.
Even though you walk through the valley of shadow of death, don't be afraid of what people could do or what man could do to your body. If the doctor gave you a death sentence, just know that God is life. That's why he sent his son Jesus. It's going to shine. Just hold on. Just hold on. I want everybody back to them.
Sometimes I feel.
Everybody back facing that way. I don't want nobody looking at nobody else. Yeah, everybody look at me. And come a little closer. Get on the altar.
I figured that. Can't comprehend the magnitude of what you're going through.
Thank you, Jesus.
But you know what? You got to
endure. The sun is going to shine.
Come on.
You got to endure.
Oh, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. I don't want nobody worrying about nobody else. Concentrate on yourself. Everybody, close your eyes. Stop praying for yourself. Any and everything that's going inside of your heart and inside of your mind, all the stuff, write down all this stuff, and when you get done, put it on the altar. Thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry that this mic is so low. It wasn't like that yesterday. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being our shepherd. I won't let go of my faith. That's what you got to hold on to. Even in spite of it all, the sun is going to shine. It's so many things, so many situations, and so many circumstances that has a tendency of coming up against us and that we just cannot get past. Thank you, Jesus. Just stop praying for yourself. Start asking God to do some things for you. Start asking the Lord to move some things around for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. I want you to just start praying for yourself. Father God, first of all, we want you to forgive us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, if we allow anything, anybody, Father God, to become higher than you in our lives. If we exalted anything higher than you in our lives, Lord, because it's not the job of that money, Father God, that keeps us. You are our shepherd. It's not that man, that woman, that boy, that child, that knowledge, or any of that stuff, Lord. You are the one that's our shepherd, Lord. I'm asking you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to touch each and every individual on the altar. Cover me in your blood and hide it behind your cross on today, Lord, in the name of Jesus, because you know any and everything that they need. You know any and every struggle that they have in their lives on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you will cover them and even comfort them. I'm asking you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you would get them to understand, Father God, that the sun is going to shine. Just let them hold out. The Lord said, just hold out just a little bit longer. Lord, don't let them just hold out, Father God, but let them have that confidence in you, God, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, speak, or imagine. Give them that peace that they need, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they would not be in that place, Father God, that causes them to be in despair. Give them that hope on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they would not be in a place of degradation or even segregation, God, because you say, if 99, you got 100 of us gone, and one of us leave, Lord, you're going to leave the 99 and go and get that one. Lord, pour that one back into your fold on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they would not be in that place of darkness, sadness, or even depression or loneliness. Let them be obedient, Father God, and follow your instructions. Let them be willingly, Father God, to follow you. Lord, I'm asking you to do it on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because I know that you can. And I know that you will, and I know that you delight in doing so. Lord, you know, God, in the name of Jesus, that your people need it specifically. There's some specific things, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that's going on in the inside of your people, God. So I'm asking you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to work it out for them, God. To work it out for them right now, Father God. They may not be able to see it. They may not be able to even know what you're doing, God. But give them that assurance that you is doing something. You're working out something for them on today, Father God. In the name of Jesus. Help them to understand, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that not only is you working it out, Father God, but that you are in the midst of it, Lord. There's absolutely nothing that just happens by chance, Lord, because you preordained and predestined, God. Even before we became into existence. Lord, I'm asking you right now to touch your people individually. You know them name by name, you know them, but even the very hairs on their head. Cover them and even comfort them on today, Father God. That they will not leave the same way that they came. Give them that courage that they need on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they will face that situation, Lord. Give them that courage on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they will not be embarrassed. Give them that courage on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they will not be afraid. Give them that courage on today that they will not even condemn themselves from guilt and shame. Help your people on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to make that decision that they need to make in their lives, Father God, that they would allow you to cover them. Help your people today. Work it out. Work on their attitudes. That in the midst of you working on their attitudes, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that they would not look at their situation a certain way and have an attitude concerning it, or their attitude will alter their belief. The Lord just showed me that your attitude can alter your belief in Him. So if you're going through something or experiencing something, have the right attitude about it. Because if you ain't got the right attitude about it, it can alter some things in your life. And it'll cause you to start thinking some type of way. And if you start thinking some type of way, the Bible says, what you think of, so shall you be. And we don't want negativity to cause us to forfeit our portion. The attitudes. It does not just mean your emotional attitude of anger or sadness or happiness. He's talking about your attitude overall. And your attitude is in a wide range area. Oh, they got a bad attitude. Why they got a bad attitude? Some people could have a bad attitude because it's hard for them to accept the truth. Some people can have a bad attitude because of what they experienced in their past. Some people can have a bad attitude because of what they hear or have heard. Some people's attitude can always sabotage their own self. What you mean by that, Pastor? Your attitude can cause you to self-sabotage yourself because you degrade your own self. Your attitude towards your own self can hinder your growth. It can hinder your growth naturally as well as spiritually. Your attitude about your own self can cause you to forfeit. Why? Because of that pride. You can have a prideful attitude. See, attitude is important. How you look at things and how you experience things. Your attitude can cause other people to get an attitude. Come on, somebody. Attitude concerning hurt. Your attitude concerning hurt can cause you to have bitterness, unforgiveness, wrath, vengefulness, grudging. Your attitude concerning the truth can cause you to be a liar. Attitude, John. That's what he's saying right now. Our attitude towards stuff. Let me give you an example. Something can be done to you or happen to you, and this is what we always say. Oh, that always happened to me. Are people always doing that to me? That's your attitude towards that? The Bible says what you bind on earth, you'll bind in heaven. You can bind generational curses. You can bind up transferring of spirits. You can bind up any and everything, even inside of your mind. How? Because the Bible says that you are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination that exalts itself against the truth. In other words, every lie that you think, you speak, you heard, or you believe, you can pull it down because you are mighty through God. We got to allow these words to become life in our lives. That this scripture right here, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How could you dwell in the house of the Lord? The Bible says that the only way that you could dwell within him is if you abide in him. How can you abide in him? He said, if you abide in my word, you will be free. So you're going to be free from that lie. You're going to be free from deceiving yourself. You're going to be free from the deception and the cares of this world and this life, because you are abiding and dwelling in his house. Are y'all following me? So just say something good is about to happen to me. Something good is going to happen in my life. It don't matter what it look like right now. It don't matter what I've been through. It don't matter what people say I can't do. See, because a lot of people have told you so much.